our sister who is away, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
We have one introduction to make anyway, one sort of reintroduction. Our brother Lee is with us after what percentage are you recovered from your accident now?
97 probably. Just yeah. Having a little problem keeping my head up straight.
Mm. Okay. Well, we'll take that 97.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
And we have Heather, who's what's your official title?
So my title is Development Specialist.
Development okay. Specialist. So she's going to talk to us about how much money we're bringing in and how many beautiful, wonderful, community-minded donors and sponsors we're getting, that sort of thing. So I think we'll have you go at the beginning of the operational overview.
Is that sure.
Okay. Okay. And so welcome, Heather.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think we still have to go around and do a quick just for the public.
Okay. So let's go clockwise from Heather.
Okay. Heather, can you say your name and title here?
My name is Heather Shane. I'm the Iowa City Senior Center Development Specialist.
Kristen Crumry, staff.
Natasha Deloach, staff.
Jay Gilchrist, president of the board, or whatever we call it.
Chair.
Chair.
Warren Paris, vice chair.
Betty Ross. Intermediary, I guess.
Member.
To the seniors.
Lee McKnight. I don't hold any office. I'm one of the commissioners.
Not to strike me. Secretary.
Madam Secretary.
And I'm Kate Milster. I'm one of the new members. I used to work here many, many, many years ago, back in the 90s. I had Michelle's job before she... I've not trained Michelle. Back in the city. We used to have like a desk down in the main lobby, and I was the receptionist person. And we didn't have computers then either, so everything was written and typed on a typewriter.
Well, okay. Welcome everybody. Thanks for your service on this end of things. Public discussion for items not on the agenda. Any thing coming through the grapevine? Anybody getting cards, letters? Emails of concern?
No public.
Did you want to approve the minutes from...
Oh, did I forget that? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm skipping ahead. Thank you. Minutes. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes from January.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, sorry about that. Items not on the agenda. Anybody want to bring anything up?
We don't have any public, so we have to move on.
Okay. Operational overview, and we'll let Heather talk to us about development.
Hi, so I'm Heather Shane. I'm the development specialist, and something I found where I need to start is explain a little bit of what that is and what the Friends of the Senior Center is. So development is nonprofit and municipal. Is the municipal term for fundraising. So, and my job here is 20 hours a week. So honestly, the administrative aspects fill up the majority of that fundraising time. But I kind of oversee the kind of year-long strategy of fundraising, which you know I've continued. My predecessor has a great program, which was the two winter appeals, and then I picked up the pickleball jamboree, and then I'm responsible for sponsorship. So with the Black History Ball, I contributed that piece to that. And then just other little pieces here and there, like it might be a little marketing, a little social media, what have you. The Friends of the Senior Center is a nonprofit 501c3. We have a board, much like y'all, that basically oversees the donations, and it's a way that people can donate. And it can basically, you can donate to a nonprofit, and it's very flexible for folks. Folks love it because they can write it off on their taxes. It's a charitable contribution. It's really nice for the senior center because it gives the senior center a little bit more flexibility. Sometimes in the senior center, municipal budget has to be spent within a certain time period in certain ways. And so Friends is nice because it doesn't have that, they don't have those regulations as far as when the donation comes in and when it has to be spent necessarily. And it can be invested in different ways as well. So for instance, we have a very large endowment with the Community Foundation of Johnson County, so which is responsible for getting us night and weekend hours. And the Endow Iowa tax credit, I don't know if it exists. I have to look that up. I think for 2025, there's still some money in
there,
it.
Maybe. it goes fast.
I looked it up at the end of 2024, but I didn't expect to be talking. I didn't look it up to talk about it. But yeah, so that's like basically people can contribute to the endowment fund. And if there's still money left in the tax credit, you get 25% write off on your taxes. And we get somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 donated to that each year. But I can give you some numbers, but did anybody have questions? I know Jay was asking me if I joked with him, but not really, that he was kind of preparing me for this yesterday because he stopped me in the hall and ended up asking me a lot of questions about what I do at my job. But do any of y'all have any questions about the basics of what I do? Yes.
I do how much is an money affected by the federal government?
So it's pretty indirect. For instance, I was so nervous because this past year the market was good, so donations were great, but I didn't like that they were all large dollar donations. And it wasn't until the end of December that we really started seeing donations that were $100 or less. And that frankly made me a little nervous because I'm like, well, what about next year if the market's not as good and then we're not seeing those $1,000, $2,000, you know, $500 donations rolling in. And in that case, it had to do with the market. But in 2025, I haven't looked up the minutiae yet, but I know the forecast is that tax law is changing regarding federal contributions in general, and so it is expected to take a downturn. So in that case, and this was before the current administration, but a worse market means worse, you know, worse market means less donations. That is the bottom line of things. So in lower interest, right, we have interest-bearing accounts. So that does mean lower interest on those accounts as well. And so that's why we're very lucky to be municipal. I think the senior center, we can stay here to stay because we're not trying to raise $4 or $5 million budget every year. The endowment has a little over $1 million in it, about $1.2 million. This fiscal year so far, I just ran the numbers 1 minute before I came out here, but we've raised about Friends has raised about $55,000. I have numbers in there too. This doesn't include the Black History Ball or the Pickleball or there's another number, or donations directly to the Senior Center. This is strictly just a donations number. Pickleball Jamboree has brought in $6,000 both years. Black History Ball, we're still crunching the numbers. That has a lot of moving pieces. We won't know. We don't do that so much as a fundraiser. That has so many other purposes, but it has brought in a little bit of money and probably will. And some things I contribute to that are like some of the places where you don't see, or for instance, like Last year, there was a ticket seller, and this year, I was able to set it up through our donation software, and that saved us a lot of money, both on the credit card processing fees, as well as people who bought tickets, they didn't have to pay any fees. Like, it was just $60. And so, whereas I know with pickleball this year, I'll be doing that too, because I was so upset when I didn't realize the fees were gonna be, we had $20 tickets and the fees were like $7 or $8.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that was a little upsetting. I was like, oh, I'm gonna figure out how to do this through our software. So that's nice for us and for folks. And then not only that, but people can opt to offset our credit card processing fees, which about half did when they bought tickets, and they can opt to give us a donation, which not many did, but that's fine. A couple folks gave us donations from that, but and I did notice that at least one, I looked it up, somebody else has been a member since 2017 who's never donated before did donate directly after. So it does get, it's another piece that gets people involved in thinking about donations. And I'm thinking about that too. Like, I always think of little ways we can integrate, because I think because we are municipal, people don't realize that we are one of the best senior centers in the country. And so when Michelle wants to do Matter of Balance, she can just come to Friends and spend 30 minutes, you know, not even 30 minutes, sorry, like 5 or 10 minutes telling us why it's important she do this training. And we gave her the money for the training, and it wasn't an issue. And, you know, the money wasn't in the municipal budget, and she didn't have to wait 1 or 2 more years to do it. And so, or when we needed the piano, we actually saved money because Friends approved $20,000 for a piano because we were buying used, and you don't know what's going to come through. And then it just so happened that when John and Latasha went, there was the perfect piano was only $10,000, but they had that flexibility where they didn't have to wait until the piano died and you just had to buy whatever the store had. So, by having Friends and having those donations when we do need things, it really does make a big difference. And I know, I'm sure we all know, what is it, the leather shoe theory, right? Where like the one high quality shoe saves you money over time when you keep buying the cheap shoes. So that's kind of what Friends is. It gives our staff the flexibility to really like maximize their potential and their ambition to bring all the great programming. Latasha always has this great vision. I know I'm not a decorator, like, but she'll say, like, the furniture out here, right, is Friends.
That is Friends, but that is the brainchild of Kristen.
I just clicked
the button. I'm like, yep.
That well, works. Kristen and Latasha think about these things. I'd probably be fine with it for forever until I'm like a college student in that way. Like, I would never notice, but it just helps with those little things. So, and then I try to think about maintain the processing of these donations, all the keep up with all this, the schedule that goes into keeping up this current schedule. And then I'm always trying to fine tune it in small ways. If it's not auditing the budget and figuring, like, I switched over credit card processors, and so we saved last year, and we saved money on that to I'm kind of trying to think about bigger things, about trying to integrate information about Friends and donating a little bit more around the building, but not too much, not aggressively, in a way, just so that people see it and are just educated a little more about it. Any other questions?
I have a question. Yeah. First of all, can you donate like cash downstairs so you can,
at
that
the front
kind
desk.
Of takes away the fees mm-hmm. that you have for credit cards and stuff, because if you go online, you're gonna probably, most people are gonna put it on a credit card. And what was the other question I had? I can't remember.
That's one of the things on my list, is I want to make a sign that says you can go to the front desk. Like,
okay.
If you'd like to make a donation, you can go to the front
desk. But they have the ability to do that.
You can, and people do it.
Okay.
People do it, but I do want to just kind of make a little sign.
Because, like, you know, if you got $10
yeah.
or $20, you just want to, you know, like mm-hmm. a little stuff, but that builds up too. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. I'd like to integrate it something with renewing, when people renew their memberships, but in a very tasteful, subtle, extremely subtle way. And I don't know what it is yet, but it's been in the back of my mind for a long time that there's, because a lot of people do give a small donation and we don't bring it up in any way. And so in my mind, there's like something there.
But well, it's good to know that people can do that because, like I said, when I was here, that there was no development office here. We solely worked off the city. And it makes, they kind of restrict what, where you can use money and what you use it for. And it was complicated. That, just having a place that where you, you know, I think it's just great to have friends here because it's, it gives you so much more flexibility, I would think, and stuff that you can do. And that's cool. It's just really cool.
My position has only been around for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else has a question? Anybody?
I was going to suggest that it's possible if there's a particular project or object that tends to spur donations, you know, brings people have an idea of, oh, this will contribute to a certain item or a certain program.
I mean, if I had, if we have more capacity, there's always more that could be done. Just the more visibility, the more stories we tell, the more asks we make, you can always, because we send the two appeals, which I think is a good, I think that's a good schedule. And then we have Black History Ball and Pickleball Jamboree. Well, we just wrapped up Black History Ball, but those are about 6 months away, and then Soul Train. So the events kind of help. And something I like about us, sometimes it's hard for me as a development specialist professionally, but personally what I like about us is that we're not pushing, we don't, like, you know, there's not that 5 boring minutes where Latasha gives a speech and, you know, does that, now's the time where everybody pull out your phones and donate or pull out your checkbook and donate. So I very much appreciate that. And so, and we're not, and until Latasha tells me we're in that position, I don't think we're in that position right now. And we'll just continue if we need to do more, like small campaigns on social media or something like that, or if we need to get the senior commission involved in some fundraising, like a bake sale or something like that, we can do that. But just when it comes to things like this with the asks, it's kind of like people don't always do it on the first ask. It statistically takes like 4 or 5 touches for them to think about it. And so I think, especially for senior centers, since we're municipal, it's just getting people to think about it. And one number is of, I've never compared it to our membership number, but our donor retention rate is statistically pretty high because I looked it up and last year, the most current numbers nationally, donor retention rates were 36%, and ours have hovered at 54%. Wow. Since before I started, they've been, I can't take credit for it because it's been pretty much the same. So there was a dip, of course, during shutdown. But so, and that's like just the legacy of the dedicated staff and members and the community y'all create here. So I think it's just finding ways to educate people that we have friends exists and what those donations, like how those donations are so meaningful to the senior center and impactful.
So is the main or the sole purpose of Friends to for those special things like you were talking about, the shoe leather theory items that aren't in the regular budget, is that the main?
To fill the gap between mm-hmm. the budget and what we need to provide the top-notch programming mm-hmm. and facilities that we have.
I have one more question. Do you have a system where a person can donate every month, or how does
we it have? We don't have very many recurring donors, but there is. We do have it set up where,
like
you,
where you
can
go online and or have it done from your bank account.
Mm-hmm. You can, if you go online, you can donate either from your checking, credit, or debit, okay. or savings account, I suppose. Like,
you good?
So,
yeah. I'm just looking up to help you.
Let me ask another question about if You mentioned people just giving general donations to the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
Does that go to Friends or does that go to the senior center? Like if I stop downstairs and say, I'd like to write a check for the senior center for $200.
They probably will try to direct it to Friends because most people want it to be tax deductible. And if you make it to the city, if you make it out to the city, you'd have to talk to your tax preparer. But a municipal donation, it does not work the same on your taxes. So usually they will suggest, oh, did you mean to make this out to Friends? And I can see, because I can see them write Friends of, like, sort of on top. Or I might call somebody if it's a larger donation. And usually we catch most of them. But some people do want to donate it directly to the senior center, and we just donate those. Because I didn't include that number. I have them recorded, and it's not nearly as significant as these. It's maybe a couple thousand or 5,000, between 2,000 and 5,000 a year. I'd have to look at it. And some people do just want to donate directly to the senior center, and that's, we appreciate that. Latasha and Kristen work with the budget, senior center budget. I do not, but I know they appreciate that too. I do not know the complexities, and I'm glad not to know the complexities of the city budget. So
I've got one. I'm sorry, but I got another question. Do you do accept in kind
mm-hmm.
contribution, like if somebody has a printer that they haven't used, or
we have some limitations about some of those things. Because of space.
Well,
you know, if you know people have, want to donate pianos and sewing machines, if we don't have a program or a need for it, then we redirect them to other agencies that can take those things. But we do have the ability through Friends to, if there was land or some type of something like that, we can, we take donations from like in memory of different things like that. So. Like if there is if someone has those in their estate, which we do get some estate payments sometimes, then we can take those. But when it comes to in-kind, we prefer food for the pantry or personal items. But if it's something, you know, one art piece or something like that, if we have wall space or something, we might take that. But like purposes of keeping it friendly and less cluttered, we try not to take too many in-kind donations in that way.
And actually, I'm really glad Latasha brought that up, because that's both one of our big goals is planned giving.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how much the senior center means to this community. People of every age have been touched by this building, so that is something we both love to get going here.
So you don't have that going yet, but you're going to try to get it going? Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works, but...
Exactly. I've done some online research, but I'm definitely not fully educated.
Yeah.
The hope is to have probably an attorney or financial services person to come and do some educating, but a lot of people have financial people. We just want to make sure that those financial people are keeping us at the forefront of places when people are thinking about where they want to give, that they consider the senior center as a place that they can make those donations.
So somebody can put it in their will.
Yeah, some people automatically, we're not out hustling for it, but some people automatically are like, we love the senior center, my parents love the senior center, we're making sure in their trust or whatever when they pass along that this money goes to the senior center. But it would be nice if we have that set up as an option for people internally, for people to be able to have access to that.
That's
we
cool.
haven't got that set up, but it is a goal of ours.
And to be able to say on our appeals, like, talk to us about
planned giving.
Yeah. So,
and like add it to your will or what you know that.
And we're just not quite there yet where we have the education where we can say talk to us. We don't have the resources to be able to say talk to us about planned giving.
We need to add another attorney to our board that specializes in that.
We
got one attorney, but that's not her specialty.
I know there's Friends of the Public Library, and I don't know if that would be, if they do any of that, like that could be a good resource.
I'm sure that
they do. I used to work in the development
office.
Do they
have land giving?
We could talk to maybe Katie and see who their lawyer person is. Or we can figure it out. It's on the list. I got time now.
Are there other?
I got time, Jason. I'm going to be into all the things.
Well, go to the library, check out some books.
Listen, I
didn't say it to them.
Oh, yeah, I'll check some books out.
It's me at 20 hours a week, and I'm ambitious, so I'm always like...
Yeah,
but then
so I may have to step in a little bit and get some of that going.
And it was very exciting to have the record donor season, but just keeping up with even just the processing of those donations could take up a whole day sometimes if there are a lot. So, no, it's great. It sounds more exciting than it is sometimes. It's kind of like today I spent all day doing administrative, like typing things up and doing the Friends budget and all that. And I looked at the clock and I was like, how is this, you know, like how is it so late? But I find it kind of exciting, which is why I'm in the job, I guess. But and it needs to be done. But yeah, it is a lot of work for a one person 20-hour, you know, it's not a team of folks, it's a one-person, 20-hour position, and I am doing kind of a lot of different things, too. And one fun thing we do in February is call all the donors. The board splits up the donor calls, and I've done 3/4 of mine. I do still have a few left, but at least 3 people told me they made my day. Usually they're really fast, but I've gotten 2 or 3. Like, I called... somebody, it was only a 10-minute call, but I got like a huge story about somebody who had received a lot of in-memory, they were the notificant for a lot of in-memory donations, and they started crying on the phone a little bit, and I told them, it's okay, that's just your love for, you know, this person, and it was a good cry, it was a really nice call, and so that's a nice touch, like, and we don't ask for any money, it's just something fun we do, and people love it. And we enjoy doing it. So, and you're always welcome if you want to join in on those. Let me know. I can find out who hasn't made their calls, and I can redistribute if you ever want to. And we have a script. It's really easy.
Might be good to dabble in to try to get some pointers about what's going on. Anyhow, how people are feeling about the Senior Center.
Or if you ever want to do that in general, you can let me know, because in my former life, I've written a million phone scripts, call scripts for folks. So so I could always do it, just if you wanted to call members and talk to them, like, and you wanted...
Could you do too? Like, because I used to do home delivered meals for like 10 years. I did that for a long time. That was part of the way that we checked on people that couldn't get out and stuff. Could the Senior Center continue to somehow find those people and just make a contact, get a call to them, you know?
That would probably be the community outreach, Emily, fall into her, because that would be a volunteer program.
Okay.
That would be my guess, but I'd be wrong.
Okay, that's a good idea.
But if y'all wanted to call members and kind of ask survey questions, then a former life that was making scripts like that was my profession, so you know, I'd be welcome to. I would volunteer with you on that.
Well, take that under advisement.
Yes.
Cool. That's cool.
So I see the two main distinctions as being for the special things, the unbudgeted things, and then the tax exempt part if people want to give that way. Plus the personal touch and everything. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome to stay or go. It's up to you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Turn it over to you.
A couple more things I want to finish before I go. So, I dropped something by your feet.
Is that mine? Are you trying to get a hold of me or something?
Oh,
did you get it? I can't bend over. I'm sorry.
I'll be brief, and I can talk about programming updates.
Sure.
Just quickly. So we have a new program guide that is coming out, but I'll talk to you guys about the Black History Ball really quickly, since that just happened a week or so ago. It sold out. It was a sold out event. People always wait to the last minute, and they're like, Latasha, can you squeeze me in? I'm like, where am I squeeze you in at? You got to stand up against the wall. Sold out 100 and some mini tickets because we got limited space, and then this is fighting me. And then out of those 100 and some tickets,
23 of them were donated. So someone wow. donated 23 tickets. Not someone, a couple people, but one person in particular bought like 18 tickets or something like that to donate because they couldn't attend and they wanted low-income seniors and other folks to be able to,
that's cool.
who didn't have tickets to be able to come, mm-hmm. as well as we had some low-income tickets set aside for folks anyways. But and so we had lots of great feedback. People really loved the opportunity to kind of dress up and come out. We had some great pictures that we'll probably post on social media, or they're probably out floating social media. We had a fashion show that went over famously. It was beautiful. Well done, fashion show. Nancy, you were there.
I was there.
You were there too? Yeah, you were there. Yeah, the fashion show. Yeah, that's right. You were seeing it.
Yeah.
The fashion show was amazing. They just did such a good job. Just, it was just really cool to kind of see what they came up with. And good music. Just it was just a good time. It was a good time. So, good food. Lots of people ate really well. And I got nothing. This is the second time that I have been at that ball and walked away with not even a crumb from a cupcake.
Oh, no.
This time I only got a cup of tea. Like, that's all I got the whole night. I went in the kitchen at the end, like, okay, I want to make me a plate. They're like, all the food is gone. I was like, I was so sad. I had a cookie. That's all I had from somebody who gave me a cookie. That wasn't even a part of the event.
That's good.
That's all I had all night. Anyways, so that's going over well. Tax season, as you all know, is happening right now. Right now, our tax aid volunteers that are from AARP, they are doing about 15 to 20 tax returns a day.
Wow,
and it's mostly
great.
For our low to moderate income folks, community members. We don't discriminate according to age. It's open to whoever, but mostly our seniors. And so that'll go through mid-April because we
What's
know
the name of the
aid.
Program?
It's called the AARP Foundation Tax Aid Program.
Okay, thank you.
So that's happening. And SHIP is still coming up. It'll come up. We just kind of concluded, but we always have SHIP appointments throughout the year. But we really have a high enrollment in the fall. That's still rolling. We had an auction at the Black History Ball and sold quite a few pieces. I think we sold about 7 pieces. So people were very excited about some of the pieces and we're going to have those things. Some of the proceeds from that event will go to a field trip. Last year we did the Underground Railroad trip and it was open to whoever wanted to come, and we had people from the community as well as people that were some people, I think it was one couple, they didn't even live here in town. They just kind of, they heard about it and wanted to come, and they paid their money, and they went on a trip with us, so which is really cool. So we're always trying to find opportunities for field trips because we find that they're popular. So we're planning on going to the Figge Museum this summer and some other place down there, but we haven't figured out all the details. I got to work on that. I got to work on those pieces. I'm trying to still recover from the event, and then I end up sick afterwards, and so now I'm recovered, but you know, I'm catching up on all my email. So we're doing really well. We have a couple of new programs I wanted to highlight. I'm thankful to all the staff that kind of gave me some highlights. We have some students from University of Iowa. We'll potentially have a student from St. Ambrose this fall, and right now we have some students from Des Moines University that are occupational therapy folks, so they're going to be helping us here in the building, and we'll do some programs in April. We have a couple of new programs. Cardio drumming is a new program that will be offered, and Tai Chi Quan, which I think is some form of Tai Chi or in that family, and then we have a strength, balance, and flexibility class that will be happening. So people who, it's free to anybody if you have, like with your Medicare, if you have Silver Sneakers or Silver and Fit or Renew Active or One Pass, if you have that as part of your health savings program that they have attached to your Medicare, you can get those classes for free. If not, I think it's like $7 or so. And then we'll have a healthy aging coming up I don't know when that's happening. It's in a program guide though. But there will be some things on like sleeping, better sleeping, how to build muscles and how to stay strong for aging. with a physical therapist, and there'll be some personal training services and different things. We have Reiki, how do you say it, Reiki? We have Reiki. Reiki is starting in March and April, so people can get some Reiki services. We still also have massage. Obviously, these things are appointment only, but we have those things being offered here at the Senior Center. The trail office moved from upstairs on the third floor. They're downstairs on the ground floor now, and what used to be our old V&A suite. So for folks in the community or you all that are looking for trail, they're downstairs. They have more space now, so I'm sure that they're not mad about that. And then Heather has the ability to have her own space, and or we can put some students in there since we have the engineering folks there utilizing some of our spaces. It kind of gives us another space to put some students. We'll have climate action programs. You know, we love some climate action around here. The 100 Grannies are putting on a lecture series. That'll be coming up. And that we're doing really, really well. Kristen updated me and let us know that we're about 1,628 members, which is our highest that we've had since June of 2020. When we had about 1,800 members. So we're doing really well on the member front. I've been in a couple of meetings about, this is kind of going, it's a facility update a little bit now, but we are on the process of getting our windows and doors replaced here. So that's gonna be probably happening this fall. Right now, you guys know our windows are unique to us, so they have to actually like pour the windows and create them. It's not like we can go to Lowe's and throw them up there. So once a bid is in, then someone will create the windows and then they'll install them probably early fall in that time frame. So be prepared for a little construction there. I'm trying to think if there's anything. We're always refining and changing some things. We're working on purchasing some new two-seaters downstairs for the ground floor, and the ones that are at the ground floor will replace the couches that we have on the first floor, because we need to get rid of those couches, because we need to get rid of all the furniture on the first floor. It's been there for a very long time. We try our best to clean them. They are not as clean as we would like them to be. So when we are starting to do our interior renovations, we will be looking for furniture we can wipe down better. Like the furniture that's upstairs here on the third floor, we can wipe that furniture off versus the furniture that's on the first floor. It used to be wipeable, but we've had it for a really, really long time, and now it's kind of got some crud that we can't quite get off. So we're going to get rid of the couches, and we'll have the two-seaters that are on the ground floor move up there, and then we'll eventually get rid of those chairs and replace it with newer furniture. We'll hopefully be working with a design team, and we'll be reaching out to folks to kind of help us with some design. But right now I'm doing a lot of research on the type of furniture, furnishings, paint, design that we want in the building that will be senior, that will help us to navigate the building better, and that are senior focused and community focused too, because we have a lot of community come through too. But we want to make sure that our materials and the weight of our tables and different things will continue to help us maintain a safe and accessible space for our folks that we serve here. So that's all that I really have that I can think of. Pantry's still going really well. We've made some changes there. We are now, we have bags specifically for people. They can fill their two bags. Once their two bags are filled, then at the end, people can come back after we've served everyone. And we're also serving people according to age. We're trying to do our older folks first, and then kind of go through it that way. This way, we're just trying to make sure we serve our most vulnerable folks first, so that they have access. And it never fails. We always have leftover food. It never fails. It's at the ground floor, but on Mondays, I need to be more specific. Our coffee connections and table to table, I think it's what it's called, happens on Monday afternoons. Noonish, afternoonish, just kind of depends on what time they get here to distribute food, and then we put it all up and all the things. We're serving between 60 to 100 seniors per month. We're redistributing probably thousands of pounds of food per month that would have otherwise ended up in the landfill. So we feel really good about that we, and also groceries are very expensive right now. So we're also grateful to be able to help people supplement their food. We're probably never going to have eggs. So,
neither is anybody else.
I haven't had eggs in my house for a week. I'm looking for some. So, if
you guys, chickens.
No, I don't. We can get a chicken. We just can't get the eggs from the chicken. I don't know if those are chickens or rooster, but one might be more chewy. I don't know, but it's some type of bird. We can get that, but we can't get the eggs. They're very expensive right now, but the things we can't have, the toiletries, sometimes there's pet food and other supplies that are donated that we're able to give folks, and it's just taken just a huge weight off of some homes that they have those supplements every week. So really proud of the work that we're doing there. We are constantly in a place of evolving, changing, growing, and trying to serve people the best way we can. Yes, ma'am.
Who's the point of contact for that?
For the pantry?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Emily.
Emily does that?
Yeah, Emily does that. She's
cool.
Default ended up being the person to do that. I was very early on in my years where I had all these great ideas, and I was like, oh, I haven't assigned people this stuff, and she kind of took it on, and has been really great. And so we've been always looking for funding opportunities and different things like that to be able to. My goal is eventually to be able to fund a position, at least part-time, to help with that, because it is making a huge impact. And at some point, we'll survey folks to really talk about the impact so that we can share that with City Council and the community about how it's making a huge impact, and with Table to Table, so that they can continue to get funding and to move forward and continue with redistributing food in the community. So, so that's kind of just an update. It's felt like a lot this time.
Hey.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to keep you in a loop. The program guide isn't here yet, but it is online, so people can start registering. Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
People I was sitting with said they thought it was last year for the Black Ball.
Yes. So this year was the last year that the senior center staff will be the lead for the Black History Ball.
Oh.
So I it's a lot. It's a lot of moving pieces for the Black History Ball.
Yeah.
And it's out of my brainchild. I have I am gifted and cursed with being a visionary, which means I can see things in really, really broad scope. As well as I can get down to the details and can be very detailed. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of staff time. I'm already over my overtime allotment because I've had to pay so much staff to be there and volunteers. And, you know, it just takes a lot to do it. So what we have done is we created a template for how the Black History Ball can go. And I'm in conversations with people in the community that we believe will take it on. I'm still willing to offer my expertise and my thought and process behind it. And as well as the location, people can still use this location if they want. Because the beautiful thing about having it at the Senior Center versus if it was at another location is we have the ability, if we need to, we can shut down a room for 2 days versus some other places they would charge us for 2 or 3 days. And so we want to continue to support, even if it's another specific culture, if it's an Asian history something or whatever, it doesn't matter. I know the world is loud about not wanting to support those things. The beauty of being in a municipality is that our funding, none of our funding that the Senior Center has comes from federal dollars or state dollars.
Yeah.
We are completely funded by Iowa City tax people. And so if Iowa City tax people are going to be in support of us continuing to support people from different cultures and support, because seniors is diversity, equity, and inclusion. I don't think people, they forget that, like, the fact that there is a Senior Center, technically, if we were federally funded, we would be targeted because we're trying to include seniors in our community. And so that would be considered an other group, a vulnerable group. And so the fact that we are here in a municipality and we're completely 100% funded by, 90-some percent of our funding specifically comes from the city. We do get a small amount. I don't want to say small, but we get a amount of money from a service agreement with the county that helps us as well in donations. So because of that, we kind of are watching other folks, unfortunately, that are being hit by some of these different cuts. But we're not stopping the Black History Ball because of any of that. It's more of a time and consumption thing. And, you know, we're still going to have the OMGers group, and we'll still have our queer elders group and our different groups, and we're going to financially support them the best of our ability. The Black History Ball also came out of a nonprofit organization of women of color, and we partnered with them the first year. So this year, they were unable to do it, but we wanted to continue it on. And so the OMGers kind of stepped up as that kind of group to help push it forward. And since I'm the coordinator for that and Kristen helps me with that, we pushed it forward and got it done. But to be was really clear with people, like, this is the last time we're going to do it ourselves. But anyone in the community is welcome to help take that on, or it can turn into a community committee. I've done tons of those, from Juneteenth, the Kites for Kids, all kinds of stuff. So if people want to take it on, we're willing to be a partner and financially support from our budget as well, that event going forth, because it was such a refreshing event to have right now in the world. It was really nice to have that. So we want to be
good prospects for that. I do
have a person in the community who has the capacity to continue it. So I've been talking with her. She wanted to attend. She attended the first year. She couldn't attend. She ended up sick, so she couldn't attend. Mm-hmm. But she sent quite a bit of her staff. So she's interested in moving it forward.
Well, Deborah, it's worth, I think it's incredibly worthwhile.
Yes, it definitely is worthwhile. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Hats off to Kristen and all those beautiful, what's them things called? The bird feather things? The ostrich? The centerpieces with the ostrich feathers. I steered clear of that, but she had it covered. She had it covered, which was very timely from that 1920s, 30s era. And it was beautifully done. Beautifully done. Decor, all the people. We also are very specific about here in the Senior Center, intentionally as a director. I am very conscious of reaching out to women-owned business and folks of color businesses when we're doing any type of events, because we know that the big folks get the dollars easier, but we try our best to reach out to. So Alita's is a small Mexican bakery, and it was a woman-owned business that did the balloons. So, like, you know, we just really try to be really intentional. So those are the detailed things that are behind the scenes that I'm saying that, like, go into making that happen.
I love the fact that we had so many young people there. I was amazed.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a very intergenerational.
It was very intergenerational. It was really cool.
Had some high school folks. I know my kids were there, and there was another little one.
Yeah.
It's open to anyone. A lot of our things are open to anyone, and we want to welcome people, because they may be young now, but at some point, we hope to be here for them when they're older.
That's so great.
Well, thanks for being there, Catherine. I think Mary, wasn't Mary there too?
Mary helped with registration.
I didn't see Mary.
She was at registration, and then she was kind of, I think she had to go, but she came in and helped volunteer
kinda,
for a little bit.
It was so many people.
It was great.
I was unable this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah, definitely came the first year for sure.
So I don't know if we want to devote too much time to this, but based on your question, Nancy, and what some of the things you've been sharing, Natasha, about, I guess the way I would like to phrase this is like percolating up from here in terms of diversity and inclusion and all those kinds of things, and percolating up to the city and then trickling down from the federal government to the city. Is the city going to be facing cutbacks? You know, are they using very many federal dollars for things?
I can speak about the Senior Center. I don't know. Of course, it's a municipality. So, of course, we have federal funds here that the city acquires to take care of other programs. But I can't say I can speak specifically to them. I think everybody's in a holding pattern everywhere about, like, is this getting cut? Is this not getting cut? Like, what do we do? But I just know for us, we are not impacted. I think not initially, right? Like, if those other bigger departments are hit, it could be that, you know what I'm saying, that we could, because to support those things, they may have to adjust the budget. So we are looking very closely at our budget and seeing if they do come our way, what can we, you know, move, we don't want to touch staffing at all, right? Because we're barely surviving with the staffing that we do have. But are there things that, so we're trying to be very prepared, knowing that even if we're not directly impacted, that there may be some indirect impacts down the line with budgetary items that we need to be aware of. So we're trying to be very, lack of a better term, conservative about how we look at things, the things that we need to take care of, that need to be taken care of. But some things, as we renovate, those things will take care of themselves in some ways, because like, I believe that once we get our renovations and interior renovations done with our HVAC and plumbing and different things, that's gonna cut cost on, you know, what we're paying to Mid-America. You know, so there's other places where cost savings will come over time with the different renovations that we're doing. But then there are other things that we're looking at, like, if we don't have this, could we still be all right? How do we partner more with friends? How do we continue to encourage people to donate? How can we, if we have a need, talk to the community about helping us? So we're, you know, I'm in strategic mode of like, you know, we're not in any trouble financially, but I don't want us to get in trouble financially. So I'm trying to be really on top of paying attention to those things.
Not to say anything about politics, but you're not expecting any muskrats at the door or anything like that?
We put traps out. You know, we believe in live catching, and we release them into the wild. Here is usually what happens when we have live critters at our
river. Okay.
Yes, so
all right.
That's been our experience.
You got into master plan discussion
a little bit. Yeah.
Anything else? Any other questions about that or items for anybody?
When we get closer to the interior, I'll report back about that.
21 South Lynn Street, across the street. There's been 3 proposals for that, and I know we're running out of time, kind of, but do you have anything to say about any of those, or that whole process, or I know each of them has some kind of senior housing component, or cultural gathering component, I don't know, is there any update on it?
Well, one thing I definitely recommend people reading it, because they're all released. It's all public information. Most of them, the city council is really supportive of affordable housing. So it would not have behooved anyone to try to put up a building without some form of affordable housing. And in this market, senior housing is such a need that it's just a pretty direct, and then being downtown, senior housing is just going to be more affordable and make the most sense, because it's usually going to be 1-2 bedrooms, as well as being across from a senior center really doesn't hurt when you're trying to sell that spot down the line. You know, our folks from Ecumenical Tower, they are witnesses that having that next door, you know, when they're selling that to you, that helps, or, you know, when that's an option for you as a workout center or whatever. And then the other cultural pieces that are in there, obviously this is going to come down to city council making a decision about which one they want to go forth, or they might say, we don't want any of these and we want this specifically, and they might have to go back to the drawing board. I'm not sure what our elected folks will do, but, you know, what I mentioned in the paper yesterday was that we are always welcome to new neighbors and new opportunities. And if there's a museum across the street or the Englert or someplace to eat, listen, you're just making it easier for me to spend my money. So I'm going to go across the street and get some snacks. So, you know, I think we are welcoming whoever's there. It's going to be noisy for a while, but we're downtown. Okay. It's always noisy. I'm competing with a band, or I'm competing with a jackhammer.
When are they supposed to start building, or do they know?
They just have proposals right now, so no one has been selected about who's going to move forward. And then even when that happens, then it has to be finances put in place, and you know, it'll take a year or so before they probably even touch the ground on that.
Right.
Especially because people are still kind of recovering from materials. For us, it takes forever to just, you know, get one thing going, but there's some interesting proposals. Some of them feel really feasible and doable, and others not so much. So there may be some movement around, or some renegotiating. So We'll see. All we can do is watch out the window while it happens. That's what we're gonna do.
And the city is having some input sessions. Yeah. Like they public meetings or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe we can let you guys know when that's gonna be.
Sure.
You know, and I don't know if it ever at some point it would behoove us to have a memo to the city about, you know, hoping that they would have affordable, a good number of affordable senior units.
Yeah.
And not too many luxury units.
Maybe have some places down, you know, like some, a little restaurant or something.
Yeah, it's already in there to do micro retail and micro.
Yeah, micro, that's what I was calling it.
Yeah, micro retail and some micro, like, restaurant.
That's cool.
Like,
that'd be great.
So, like food court kind of thing, so.
So check it out, because there are three proposals there, and they're different.
They're all different.
They're all different.
They're all different.
So, okay. Any community correspondence before we wrap it up here?
Complaints, comments,
I was going to make one suggestion for the Black History Ball. Can we get name tags at any point for when we're attending? Because nobody knows.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes maybe for the staff, too, because a lot of people don't know who's who.
Not going to work on my outfit, but maybe everybody else.
Well, just even stickers or something. You know, a sticker would be okay.
A sticker was not about to get on my dress. I understand what you mean. I could have carried a sign, though. I could have carried a little sign or put it in my hair.
a gold chain.
Yes, a gold chain.
A gold chain.
I don't know. That would have messed up my necklace. We'll work on that, definitely. We definitely have talked about getting signs for commissioners.
Well,
when we do public events. We usually have, it says commissioner on there.
Yeah.
But we were talking about getting some permanent ones. But it's kind of tricky sometimes with, you know, because it's like when people rotate over or something, you know, it's like you're spending the money on it. And it's like, but we always have name tags. So that's a good point.
Well, just even a little, you know, the simple ones, that'd be fine.
Oh, I wanted to mention, and we'll have this meeting before our next time, but we have a new members. It's March
the
29th.
Yep.
And we would love for you all to come. It's lunch, so you let us know so we can make sure. The 26th of March. So any of our new members in the last couple of months, we're inviting them to come and do lunch. And we always borrow a couple of you all for tours, if you're willing. But if you would like to come and just say hello to some of our new members on the 26th at noon, I think it's a Wednesday. Please come and join us and welcome some of our folks. But let us know so we can order enough food. That's going to be the biggest thing, is order enough food. So, and that's all that I have.
Anybody else? How about future agenda items? I know it was nice to hear from Heather today. We have heard from Michelle and Emily
in
months gone by.
I think Kristen's up.
Kristen.
Yep.
And she has expressed willingness to share with us at some point. So, but if there's anybody else, you know, I'm the one that came up with the idea, I think, to have staff report on what they're up to, you know, and that gives us more of a feel for
what they
world here. So I think I'd like to see that continue in some way, and even with some of the interns or whatever, you know.
Well, even the people down at the desk downstairs, they do a lot.
Yeah,
they do a lot.
That will fall under Kristen.
That's
front desk. Well, because she's our operations assistant, and so she is kind of basically the manager of that. We need them down there, so we can't have them come up here. but she would probably include that in what they do in the pieces that she does.
I'd love to.
We can also have SCTV, or maybe we can even have like John Renard at some point maybe come in and talk about music programs.
Yeah.
So we have a couple more, and then we'll have Trail come again because they're required once a year to come. I don't know. They told me they would let me know when that happened. If they announced it, I missed it. So when that happens and they get settled in, then we'll see if we can get them maybe this summer or fall to come in and talk to us about what they're doing and where they're going. So
no pressure, but we'll look forward to hearing from you, Kristen, next month or the month after or whatever about how we roll around here.
Yeah. We're gonna get into the nuts and the bolts. That's down in there. We're gonna be down in there when you get to Kristen. So.
Okay, I'll call for adjournment. Motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
Third, fourth, fifth, all in favor?
Aye. 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.